I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this June the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2016. And it is an Insight Wednesday, which means we like to talk about things that are happening in the world that Christians may have questions about. And so what we're going to be doing during this segment of the broadcast is to deal with what happened in Orlando. How do Christians respond to the death of those many homosexuals? I'm going to give a little warning here that some of what I'm going to be saying today might not be appropriate for smaller children. And I think you can understand why. So make your decision right now as to whether they're going to be listening to this part of the radio. You can always listen to it archived. It should be on by tomorrow. And then if you want them to listen, there's no problem with this. By the way, what I'm going to say would be appropriate for youth in confirmation as we talk about this. Yes, everybody agrees it was a horrendous act. Almost 50 people killed, and with the shooter himself killed, it was 50. Although we're told that six or so people are very near death, so the numbers may go up. At this point, the last number I heard was 49. How do we deal with this situation? Well, what makes it difficult is because the particular bar we are talking about was a bar for homosexuals. And the Christian church, the true Christian church, of course, recognizes homosexuality as an abomination before Almighty God. And this is a really important point we are making. We need to be careful not to be relying on our feelings and emotions to make theological decisions. Every theological decision should always ask, not what I think about this, but what does God think about this? For example, Ben Carson, a presidential candidate at one time, compared homosexuality to bestiality. And when you hear that, you say, oh, that was just terrible. Why would you say something like that? Well, the reason you say something like that is that's what the Bible teaches. Leviticus 18, let me just read a couple of verses here. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. And this is talking to males. It is an abomination. And you shall not lie with any animal and so make yourself unclean with it. In fact, in Israel, both homosexual activity, lying with animals, and remember, even adultery on the part of a woman was punishable by death. Now, some people say, oh, look, the Bible is just like the Quran. But you see, those were rules meant for Israel. They were part of the civic laws, and we are no longer bound by the civic laws of the Old Testament. We don't stone women caught in adultery. No. And in fact, a lot of those laws did not apply to the nations around Israel. These were Israel laws that God had put into place in order to show primarily how really contrary to nature were many people. And therefore, to make it very clear that the curse of the law was under them. Remember what the curse of the law is. In the day that you sin, you shall die, not just temporally, eternally. So, we are not bound to the laws of the Old Testament in regard to the civic laws. We're still bound to the moral laws. And people say, well, you see, in the Old Testament, homosexuality was wrong. No. It's not just in the Old Testament. the point I want to make here is it wasn't just the Old Testament, but it's very clear from the New Testament. What the Old Testament laws, to which we are no longer bound, are the civic laws of punishment for various sins. We're still bound by the morality of it. And in case you wonder, does God still think that homosexuality is a sin? Paul, in his letter to the Romans, makes it very clear why God is angry with people who are unbelievers and sinners. In Romans 1, verse 26, "For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their sin." So, how does this help us to understand how we will deal with this situation? What are we going to say about it? Because I heard on television somebody bringing up occasions when people who said they were Christian actually still killed homosexuals today in the United States of America. Well, we need to understand, if you're referring to radical Muslims, those are Muslims who take the Quran literally and follow the Sharia laws. And I heard an excellent interview by an individual on the television with an imam. And this imam had been accused of the murderer being involved with him. The murderer said he had gone to a school and this kind of thing. The imam said, no way. But during the course of the interview, the imam did agree that homosexuals should be put to death. And when the interviewer asked him, how can you say that? Isn't that murder? And he simply made the point, no, do you not in the United States of America put people to death for various crimes? And that was the point he was making, that in Muslim countries, they can have their own civil laws. And just as the United States puts people to death for, say, first-degree murder, they also would say you could put people to death not only for homosexuality, he even mentioned a woman or a man committing adultery. It was a very clarifying point of view, because here's the point I want to make. The Muslim religion does not make a distinction between the two kingdoms like Christianity does. For example, I don't believe that Christians should force the government to make laws that are used in the church. I'll give you an example. Divorce. In the church, we will excommunicate someone who has an unbiblical divorce, or we should. But that doesn't mean that the government isn't permitted to do no-fault divorce, because of the hardness of the heart. So I would say it is wrong for Christians to say that the government laws are wrong if they permit divorce. Even Jesus mentioned that because of the hardness of the heart, Moses permitted divorce. So there's just one example where we in the church have a different set of guidelines in various areas. Now, some of the guidelines are also meant for the government. If you permit abortion, homosexuality, gay marriage, and other such immoral activities, this will definitely hurt the nation. Because God has put into place, just as in the realm of gravity, you jump out of a second-story window, you're going to hit the ground. It's called gravity. You do these evil things, there will be consequences that you will pay for. So we do not want at all to move away from the view that the homosexual lifestyle is wrong. I remember one mayor, and it might have been even the mayor in Orlando. I could be wrong on that. He said, after we saw this terrible situation where all these people were killed, today we are all part of LGBT, which is lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. No, I could not disagree more. I am not part of LGBT. Yes, we emotionally feel for these people. And I'm going to give you the best example I heard. Not long ago, the mayor of Chicago attacked Chick-fil-A because the head of Chick-fil-A believes in marriage between a man and a woman. And the mayor of Chicago even made the point that they don't even belong in Chicago, people like that. That's kind of interesting when he has all these murders going on. He never seems to say anything like that against those people. But Chick-fil-A, yes, it was an attack against the Christian faith. Well, guess what happened? The owner of Chick-fil-A has his stores closed on Sunday because he feels it's a day of rest and he wants people going to church. After this tragedy occurred, Chick-fil-A opened up their restaurants in that area, and it was a Sunday. They opened them up, and they began to distribute food to the many people who were involved in the consequences of this tragedy, particularly those who were standing in line to give blood, that they were being fed, etc. And see, this is the point I want to make. In the scriptures, and I'm looking at the Lutheran Study Bible, they have, and I'm going to read this on page 1911, homosexuality and biblical teaching. There's no doubt that the Bible does indict all people for doing things that destroy society. Everyone is born with a depraved mind that leads to every kind of wickedness. Homosexual behavior is no more damning than gossip, greed, or jealousy. Those who commit such sins will face God's judgment unless they repent. The one who practices homosexual behavior will face the same judge as a gossip, slanderer, or liar. Homosexuality stands first in the list for the apostles because for Paul, it so clearly demonstrates how people rebel against the Creator's order. In this point, Christians should abhor the sin of homosexual behavior as they abhor all sins. But at the same time, Christians should see homosexuals as people for whom Christ shed his precious blood. God wants us to recognize that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. A homosexual, like any other sinner, needs to hear God's word of law and gospel apply to his or her life with the goal of repentance and faith. I believe that this terrible tragedy is an opportunity for Christians to reach out to those they know who are in the homosexual lifestyle with a prayer on our lips that they might repent of their sin. Now, I remember somebody asking, would you ever allow a homosexual to join your church? And they were really quite surprised when I said yes, if the homosexual is repentant. Well, what if he keeps doing the action? And I responded, just because you are repentant doesn't mean that you're going to be able to stop your sin because of the weakness of the flesh. We would hope that the more that such a person is involved in Bible study, hearing sermons, etc., they will come not only to a recognition of how serious this sin is, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to stop it. You know, there are people who are alcoholics who just by their will are able to stop from drinking. This also kind of revolves around the whole thing about transgendered. One person I was listening to said, we need to honor those homosexuals who were killed in this tragedy by allowing transgender to go into whatever bathroom they want to go in. Now, that doesn't make any sense at all. A transgendered, and you can Google this, by the way, which means you can look up hospitals or look up psychiatrists, and there are excellent articles where being homosexual or transgendered is really a psychological problem. It is contrary to nature, and from our point of view, it's contrary to the way that God created us. Nobody is created as a homosexual. He may have sinful tendencies toward that, as we all have sinful tendencies in one area or another. And so we're all in a struggle against the old Adam. Let me change the scenario. I think some people have been surprised that there were 300 people in a homosexual club or bar. There are many of those throughout the country. Normally we think about San Francisco, but also here in Orlando. It's a known spot. What a lot of people don't realize is there are also bars for pedophiles. A pedophile is someone who doesn't have any trouble with fooling around with little children. In fact, there's even a group out there. A man, boy, one of them's called, and others. They're quite open among themselves. So let's say there were 200 pedophiles in a bar, and this guy comes in and shoots them up. Should the mayor of the city say, well, today we're all pedophiles? No. But then how do you relate to these people who are being so hurt at this time? In fact, it's no accident that Jesus went to the prostitutes and the tax collectors who were really looked down upon in Judaism, because these people felt the hurt. The 10 lepers, they weren't even allowed to worship in the temple. Then the lame and the blind. You see, the law had already done its work, and they recognized their sorry condition, so that when Jesus came to them and said, your sins are forgiven. Wow. I'm just wondering how many people with this How many people with this psychological ailment of gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered, how many people wonder, are these things that are happening to me because God hates me? We're going to talk tomorrow with Mark Laverty about a question that I found the answer to be very interesting. I was in a Bible study and I asked a question. Okay, we are Christians. What is it about Christianity that you would want to share with someone? And we'll share with you some of the answers, which I feel are wrong. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But one of the things you're going to be hearing is that when a tragedy occurs, like happened here in Orlando, or like happened with a tsunami, what an opportunity it provides true Christians to come in and help out. Now, why did Chick-fil-A do what they did? Because Christians are involved with Chick-fil-A. And you say, well, if they don't like homosexuals, why would they do what they did? During World War II, we had nurses on the battlefield who would help with the wounded Nazis. That's right. It didn't matter whether you were a Nazi or an American soldier. If you were wounded, they would help you. And you see, we Christians need to be very careful that we don't give the impression that God hates homosexuals. Because if he hates homosexuals, he hates me. because I'm as big a sinner as a homosexual. He loves us. But we have to understand also, we don't have to get across to God that we love homosexuals, but it's really difficult to get across to them for a very simple reason. And I won't use homosexuality. I'll use another example. As pastor for some 44 years here on earth, there have been a number of occasions when I had to go to two young people living together outside of marriage and indicate that they needed to stop doing that and they would no longer be communing. It's called a minor ban. Almost every time, they would have the impression that I hated them. You know, that's just a psychological defense to take away guilt that you really should be feeling and putting it on the person who is telling you that it is a sin before Almighty God. I had an experience in one of the churches I was at where a member was shot with a bullet. I heard about it, went to the hospital to visit her. When I got there, unbeknownst to me, she had been shot in an abortion clinic because she worked there. Now, she was a secretary. So she met the people who were having an abortion, maybe took down certain information they had to have and took the money from them. I said to her, while she's in the hospital bed, that I was very disappointed to hear this. We were having a meeting with the elders on Monday night after this incident, and I told her that we would be giving serious consideration to bring her under excommunication. Well, when we excommunicate someone in the Lutheran Church, we should have a lot of discussion with the person to make sure that we are truly excommunicating someone who deserves to be excommunicated. And when we sat down and talked with her, she told me that she really didn't want to work at that place, but it was the only job she could find. That she was pro-life, and she felt that being the secretary wasn't participating in the killing of the babies. I told her, no, that's not how God would think. And she then said, well, if I could get another job, I would leave that place. We got her another job. She repented of being a secretary in the abortion clinic, and all excommunication proceedings ended. You see, God in Jesus Christ used many opportunities when people were in a situation where they needed help. He had compassion time and time again. For you as a Christian not to have compassion for these people who endured this horrible tragedy, then you don't understand Christianity. Because there but for the grace of God goes any one of us. Yes, there's no doubt that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and one of the great sins they were doing was homosexuality. But there's no doubt that God doesn't hate these people. We Christians hate the sin, but we don't hate the person. And therefore, we want to use these opportunities to share with them the greatest news that they have ever heard. That God is not a God who loves to hurt his people, who loves to cause suffering. Anytime he does that, he does it for a purpose. And who knows how many people affiliated with this terrible tragedy in Orlando, that God is using the circumstances to bring them into the Christian faith. Yes, these are just some of the thoughts I have. Tomorrow we're going to go to a different subject, but on Friday we have Open Mic Friday. So if you want to ask any questions that I have here or that I've said, then don't hesitate to either phone me on Open Mic Friday or email me, And I'll try and respond to the emails on Open Mic Friday. Email address is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. It is very difficult to witness to an unrepentant sinner without that sinner getting the impression that we hate them. But we don't hate them. We're there to help them because we are no different than they are. We have gone through the same problems that they have been going through. And our God has helped us. There's few Christians in the congregation that have not done something they wish nobody ever finds out about. So let's not say that some kinds of sins are worse than others, because the greatest friend of sinners died for every one of them. I'm Tom Baker. Join myself and Mark Laverty tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.